I think we sang really good tonight, so I believe that since we did so well that we should be able to have somebody come in here as a speaker and share their thoughts with us. Somebody that's very well loved, not only by co-workers, but by a family and all the rest of us. And I think that person will share their thoughts with us tonight, and I think we'll all enjoy at least part of it anyway. What do you think? You think we'll enjoy all of it or just part?
All of it.
All of it? Really? It's spoken true right from the little daughter's heart. See that? It's our Freddie. Yay!
It's great to be here tonight. Thanks everybody for being here to hear me speak. What I'd like to do is start out with an affirmation that I say twice a day, every morning when I get up and before I go to sleep each night, and share that with you. And we'll start out. I am one with the source of all creation, and I am open to receive all energies from this source. My purpose is to know and to be universal love. My intent is to know the fullness of life, the joy of life, and the love that I am. I deeply desire to know, to be, to understand, to experience, and to express the love that I am and the absolute good that I bring forth. I ask that the light of this source surround me, enfold me, and embrace me. I ask that this love energy flow through me now and forever, for from this day forward, I am better able to be the love that I am and to know that I am without limitation. For I am this energy. I am universal love. And because I am universal love, I live each moment of every day in heartfelt gratitude and deep abiding appreciation for all that is. Thank you. And my talk tonight is called All About Love. And, Millie asked me to speak probably about a month ago, maybe a little over a month. She didn't ask me what I was going to speak about, but I kind of got the, I could feel my guides with me telling me this is the subject, and I got confirmation last week in class. I came on Tuesday night. The first thing that Millie spoke when she started speaking when the class started was Corinthians and about love. And I turned to her and I said, "You stole my speech," because that's how I was starting my talk next week. So there was my confirmation. And I feel like, I know that part of my journey here on Earth now was to learn love, and it's almost like I'm giving my thesis, and everybody's here to hear it, and my guides are all here saying, "Well, go for it." I hope I don't put anybody to sleep or anything, and I hope I can give all this energy that I feel inside. I want to bring out to all of you. And I'll start I want to say, as far as the this unconditional love, what I'm going to speak about with the unconditional love is how it's inspired my spiritual journey and also enriched my abilities as a healer. I'll start with Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or arrogant or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable or resentful, nor does it keep a record of what has been wronged. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love is everlasting. It never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. though the gifts of spirit, such as prophecy, tongues, and knowledge, will come to pass, love endures. Love is eternal. And another thing I want to share is a song by the Beatles. A couple of John Lennon and Paul McCartney have the credit for writing the song, and it's called "All There Is All You Need Is Love." Everybody familiar with "All You Need Is Love"? Well, it's not a love song. It's far from a love song, and to me, I think it's testament to the power of intention. It's about spiritual growth, and it's about synchronicity. And these are a few of the lines that I want to share. Nothing you can make that can't be made. No one you can save that can't be saved. Nothing you can do, but you can learn how to be you in time. It's easy. All you need is love. Nothing you can know that isn't known. Nothing you can see that isn't shown. Nowhere you can be that isn't where you're meant to be. It's easy. All you need is love. Of course, when we those that are in the development classes, and it's all Millie talks about is love and unconditional love, unselfish love, raising your love vibration to connect with spirit in love, and it's such an inspiration. And what I've done is, I typically meditate and connect with my spiritual self. I do automatic writing, meditative writing, also known as. And this is what I got from my spirit guides as far as love, universal love, unselfish love. A universal love is the pure, unconditional love that emanates from one's heart center to and for all the creations of the Lord, the One. Unconditional in the sense that it is without condition or exception, and with the expectation of absolutely nothing in return. Universal love has substance and is extremely powerful, yet invisible force. Make a mental note to express this universal love every morning when you arise, and you will eventually notice a change in your behavior towards others and a reciprocal change in their behavior towards you. This is something that I got from Spirit several years ago, and I did that. Every day I would make a note to be centered in love and see where that would take me. And it's easy to read it, it's easy to understand the words, and even to agree that yes, this is really spiritual, this is special. But it's really difficult to maintain in daily practice because we all have that ego, you know, that you have to deal with. And when you interact with other people and things make you cross, things get you irritated or whatever, and you have to make a note to kind of step back, let it go, and send that person love and send them on their way. And understand that, you know, whatever they're dealing with, whatever their drama is, it isn't your drama at all. Just leave it to them and leave it to the Lord. But I did conscientiously work on it every day, and I did notice that I did notice changes, not only in the inner peace that stilled my heart, but also in the way that others, and the way others connected to me, but also in the perceptions that I began to have. I started to perceive things a little bit differently. And when I think about spiritual growth, it's something where I've been on a spiritual path for well over 25 years, and it seems like I really have gotten nowhere. But when I look back, it's like, wow, I can't believe I was like that 25 years ago, and look where I am now. It's like it's a series of subtle changes that occur over time. Your perceptions change, and your feelings inside change, and you're not really consciously aware of it until you take that inventory and look back and think about where you were in the past and where you are now. One of the first perceptual changes that I did notice was that I began to think in terms of anything that I did or any interaction that I had with anybody was me, was my gift, was the essence of me. And if I was going to do that, it would be given in love. There would be no sense of obligation attached to it. There would be no resentment. It's just given in love. You think about the many things that you do in every day of your life. And would you want to put out the negative energy of resentment or loathing when you put that out? That's your energy. That's your signature. Would you want that to be your signature? Doesn't it make just as much, it takes just as much effort to do something and make it an expression of love as it does to put out all that other junk? Another big change in my perception occurred about 3 years ago, and it seemed like it was a very minor thing at the time it happened, and it probably would have passed over had it not come to Millie's attention in class 3 days later, in a spiritual development class. But what had happened was I was Christmas shopping with Shirley, my wife, those who don't know Shirley, I saw this woman that had been hired as a temporary cashier in this place, and she was only about 4 foot tall, and was getting the way she'd get around and help the people. She carried a stool with her, and everywhere to get to the register or get something, and I started to feel sorry for this woman. Then I noticed that in my consciousness, my spirit guides said, "Don't feel sorry for her. Honor the path that she's chosen in her life and send her love and light so that her path can be enriched." And I did that. And just as soon as I'd done that, I forgot about it. However, the following Tuesday was our spiritual development class, and got called up in the circle with a few other people in the middle of the class. And after we'd been standing there in the middle a little bit, Millie pointedly remarked, "Fred, what'd you do this weekend?" And I was completely caught off guard. I had no idea what she was talking about. I said, "I don't know. I had no idea." She said, "Your guides are acknowledging you for something you did this weekend. Were you out shopping?" And as soon as she said that, everything just came. And I realized what this was. It was a whole change in perception, and my guides were bringing it to my conscious attention. It probably would have totally slipped by me had it not come up in class and being acknowledged for it, which is also a blessing. This experience started me thinking about compassion and recognizing the past all of us have chosen from our birth, that include anything from abusive, cold, unloving parents or abandonment to doting, adoring parents, or from enduring extreme poverty or being born to great wealth, and experiencing how these paths impact one's spiritual growth, and furthermore, how we've dealt with the hand we've chosen to play. Has it enriched our soul? And can we say that we caught the significance of the experience that we've chosen? My dear friend, Reverend Rita Paredes, spoke here one Sunday about compassion and used an analogy that I'd like to share. I probably don't have the story exact, but I think the gist of the story is apparent. There's two monks. One, a mentor, and the other, a student, were walking deep in serious conversation about spiritual issues when they came upon a man who was severely beating his dog, who was bruised, bleeding, and cowering in fear. The student remarked, "That poor animal, what could it possibly have done for that man to beat it so severely?" To which the mentor responded, "That poor man. What could have happened in his past to cause him to act so cruelly to that poor, defenseless animal?" With my eye of compassion, I began to recognize that actions of others were more about where those people were on their path in life and were not so much about how those actions impacted me. And from that perspective, it's easier not to attach any negative emotion or to be offended by the acts of others. It was almost 2 years ago in March 2010 when I was traveling home from a business workshop. I was in an airport in Virginia and going through the checkpoint at the TSA checkpoint to get in to our flights. There was a woman in her 90s that was there. She's obviously confused, traveling by herself, and she was getting little sympathy from the TSA people. And so I offered to help her. I went through her boarding passes and got it all straightened out for her so she showed the right one to the agents, and helped her through and offered to sit with her at her gate until her flight boarded. And we sat there and we talked for a while, and all of a sudden she turned around and said to me, "You're a natural healer." She said, "I want you to go home and look up Healing Touch International and take a Healing Touch Level 1 class." So I says, "Well, that's a message from Spirit." So that's what I did. This happened in March. In April of 2010, I got home in March, looked it up on the internet. The next available class in Healing Touch was available at Rady Children's Hospital. And I signed up for it, and I talked Shirley into signing up for it too, which we both did, took in April. And it just so happened that month, the Children's Hospital was starting a program, a volunteer program for Healing Touch practitioners. I mean, to me, having energy work in the hospital was just phenomenal. I just couldn't believe it. And they call it integrative medicine now, and a number of hospitals in San Diego, and probably is getting more prevalent throughout the country, where in the integrative medicine, people can choose to have Healing Touch done either post-op or pre-op or even, you know, to help in healing. Well, what we did initially when the program started out, it was a very experimental thing. They didn't let us work on patients. They had us work on staff. We worked on each other, and we got to work on the patients' families. But it just so happened that there's some children. Special needs patients in the Helen Bernardi Center for Medically Fragile Children who require 24-hour day care. And because they get very little volunteers, they get very little interaction, our coordinator was able to work some of us in there. Out of 20 volunteers who are in the program, there's only three of us, Shirley and I are two of them, who work in this center. When we began to work with these patients, and many of them are cases of severe cerebral palsy, and it wasn't easy. Most of them don't have the ability to communicate. They most wear special apparatus and are confined to a wheelchair, so we had to improvise and just kind of go by intuition when we did our healing work. Another challenge was that when we did perform the energy work, because they couldn't communicate very well, we didn't really get any feedback on how well the healing touch was working. And remember what I said about honoring the path that one's chosen in his lifetime and lighting that path with love. As I worked with these children, I began to understand that they're highly evolved souls who have chosen the life that they're living to gain a whole new appreciation on what life is from that perspective. It's a very unique perspective. I also noticed, as did the staff, that as we worked with the patients regularly and over the long term, they began to achieve a calmer state, and the healing energy would relax them into a peaceful state, into a very peaceful sleep. And to me, this was very special because I also believe that when they are sleeping, they're unencumbered by their physical limitations. That's their bit of freedom that they have, where they're free and to do and go as they please, till they find them, till they wake up and find themselves in their broken bodies again when they wake up. We work one evening a week, and each session we treat about 4 to 6 patients. When I work with these children, I invoke the assistance of God and all the doctors and healers on the other side to help these children and bring the energy through me as needed by each child. By June, I'd worked with several of the patients several times. And there's one young man in particular who was in pretty bad shape when we started working with him in April. His afflictions rendered him not only physically challenged, but he seemed to have absolutely no awareness whatsoever of the others around him, and his body was contorted in constant, involuntary, jerky movements. On this particular evening, as I worked with him, his movements became less severe as he got more relaxed. This night was a little bit different because he did something I'd never seen before. All of a sudden, he became completely still, slowly turned his head towards me, and peered directly into my eyes for what seemed like a full minute. I, in turn, peered into his eyes and could see right down to his soul, his core being, and immediately experienced a knowing that we'd connected on some higher level, and he was communicating his gratitude and love to me as soul to soul. I became overwhelmed with his expression of universal love, which touched down to my very core and brought tears to my eyes. After several seconds, he turned his head and assumed his regular behavior again, but I was profoundly impacted by our brief but deep connection and continued my treatment. I was forever touched by that experience. It was my confirmation that this child of God, this beautiful, advanced soul, had recognized and acknowledged that I honored the path he'd chosen for this lifetime and expressed his gratitude for the love I was bringing to light his path for him. This work is truly God's work in a labor of unconditional love. I'd like to leave you with the following quote. Our life is a creation of our minds. What we are today comes from our thoughts of yesterday, and our present thoughts build on our life of tomorrow. And I'll close saying namaste, which to me means the divinity within me perceives and adores the divinity within each one of you. Thank you.